Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to Peninsula Obscura. I'm Karina Kolb.
And I'm Rachel Peacock.
This is a podcast about the strange and unusual state of Florida.
We'll talk about Florida's weird history,
paranormal activity,
and of course, true crime.
Each week, one of us researches a topic, and then we talk about it in depth.
Let's dive in.
Welcome to episode 25, Peninsula Obscura.
This is us. I don't know what to say. I did not mean to like say that, but you know, it's happening. This is our lives right now.
Yeah, is anyone else having like a really hard week? Or is that just...
It's like I'm eating sour candy and the sour just never goes away. Where's the sweet?
That's a great metaphor.
I don't know. I came up with it just now, you know. I don't know. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's been rough. I relate.
Yeah, if anyone else is having a hard hard week.
Hard life.
Just know you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here with you. We are working from home. Thankfully, we can work from home, record our podcast from home.
Yep, we're recording our podcast over a distance.
Yeah. You ever heard of that thing called Zoom? People have been using this for years, and now people are like, Zoom is brand new. And like, it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, we've used it. We use it at our work. Lot for a while. So we all have pro accounts, which is nice.
Oh yeah, it's real nice. Perfect for the quarantine.
But yeah, since we're having kind of a rough week, we're gonna do something a little different for our episode. We're going to do the news, but not that news.
not the sad news. Well, not some of them might other be sad news.
Not that other news that you're probably hearing about,
you're getting enough of already. This is news that you haven't heard about or
this
have
is, yeah, this is PON, Peninsula Obscura News.
I want to do like a little like intro.
Yeah, the news intro.
We're coming at you live. So, from whenever you're pressing play.
Yeah, exactly. Live while you're doing dishes. Live from quarantine. Rachel and I just found various news articles that are kind of a little bit diverting and weird Florida news that we're going to talk about. It's just going to be a fun a bunch of little shorts. Hopefully it's all still interesting. We found stuff that's interesting to us.
Yes. So. It's like going to be just a mixed bag of things.
Yep. I have some spooky news. I have some spooky news and some more positive, upbeat news.
I have a little bit of a true crimey news and some some made me laugh news. So get ready. Also, I might tell a little story about what happened to me because it kind of relates, but we'll see.
I would love to hear it. So I'll start because I have something that I think we both talked about.
Okay.
Outside of the podcast, you and I talked about it because it's local. It's Gainesville news. And actually, they talked about it on last podcast on the left. If you listen, they talked about it on Side Stories briefly. Old news at this point, but not super old. It's from February of this year. Jars of human tongues, yes. Found under Northwest Gainesville home.
Yes. I remember this very clearly. Because I put them there. Just kidding. No way.
It's like, actually, so it's really weird. Basically, this house was sold and, or the previous residents moved out. And then some people who were working under the house, like, I don't know what they were doing, plumbing.
They found some things.
Jars of preserved human tongues.
Yes.
And so they had to call the police because it was like human remains.
I heard that they also found remains of infants. But I could be wrong about that. It could be just speculation.
Well, here's what I've got from WCJB News, TV20. Mary Bachman and her ex-husband, Dr. Ronald Bowman, B-A-U-G-H-M-A-N, say that the tongues were nothing more than a research project from many years ago. Dr. Ronald Bowman was a world-renowned pathologist researcher and University of Florida professor emeritus. So apparently he obtained the specimens during his research early in his career in the 60s and 70s and then brought the specimens home with him when he came to Florida.
Weird.
So he brought them with him to Florida to, with the intention of using an additional research. So I guess he had these specimens and then he's like, I need to keep these because they're for good for further research. And then he says that he stored the tongues in the crawl space of the house because it was a cool area to preserve them. And they just forgot about them.
I don't know.
Yeah. A spokesperson from UF says, quote, I don't know what the policies and laws would have been like 50 years ago or whenever it was. But I can tell you that today that's not something that would be permitted. There are very strict federal and state laws as well as university policies that prohibit that. It would be neither appropriate or legal for a faculty member or researcher to bring something like that home. And yeah, you're like, that's very fucking weird. Yeah, I get it. It's like the 60s or whatever. So they're all,
yeah, like, but it's like a little trophy or something. It's like, what am I going to throw these away? I need to keep them. This is my hard work here. Just get rid of them. Or like at least put them with labels on them and the date.
Yeah.
Because I thought that they didn't have really labels on them.
Well, I think some of them did.
I saw a Reddit post.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they had names on them, and that was weird.
There's 6 gallons. Six plastic gallon jars.
They looked like names, but they were actually places.
Gotcha.
I think. But I saw, like, the original Reddit post because someone, the person who found them posted it on Reddit, and that was creepy. But
I should have shared that.
Hey, I'll find it somewhere if it's still on Reddit.
I can find it.
But yeah, that's what I remember looking that up and being like, whoa, in my town.
Yeah, it's basically weird. No, I found it. I found human remains today under a crawl space of a home is the post.
Yeah.
Oh, they deleted it. Oh, maybe they got in trouble.
Maybe they did.
For sharing it.
You know,
but
he's just a worker.
Yeah, I know the person who posted it. So they probably got in trouble because it's like an investigation or whatever.
Yeah.
But well, the guy was like, he worked in oral and maxillofacial surgery. Like he
was
he's
a
the
mouth
kind of doctor
guy
that would have tongues. But apparently the names said Heather, Virginia, Angela. But I don't know. Like, I see what you mean. Like, one of them's Virginia, yeah. But they were like, no, it's the place, Virginia. Very weird.
It's a very unusual story, an unusual place. It's not, I guess in Florida, we don't really have cellars. So, like, people
that's
would
a good
normally
point.
Store it. So he was like, he probably had a cellar where he was living before and moved to Florida and was like, where am I going to put these? I don't have a cellar. That's cold. I'm going to just put them underneath the house. That's fun. I think it's a poor decision on his part to keep them there and then to forget about them. Like, he should have at least had a list of things that he needed to grab. And, you know, everybody, when yeah. they're moving, they just forget about some things. But, you know, that should have been on the priority list. I guess he just didn't think about it, you know? Forgot about his human tongues underneath the house.
Yeah. I just thought I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up that very obvious big news story from
Kansas. Yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a good little Florida news tidbit. I have a story for you.
Yes.
And for everyone. I was researching, basically I just searched Florida man as a hashtag I just looked at news for Jax, which is Jacksonville's, they're a little news station down there, and I found this headline. It says, Sheriff's Office, man killed sleeping couple, buried bodies in swamp. And this was recent. So this was, I think, March 6th, I want to say.
That's super
recent. No, March 8th. So it was just like a week or two ago. Now, here is what allegedly happened. In Haines City, Florida, which is near Tampa, a Florida woman was trying to sell a truck for only $200. Now, people were very surprised by this because $200 is very cheap for a truck. Mm-hmm. And they asked her why the price was so low. And her response to that was, the owners didn't need it anymore. Now, that woman who's selling the truck, her name is Amberlyn Nichols. And her strange sale of the truck sparked interest for the local law enforcement. Mm. You see, the truck did not belong to Amberlyn. In fact, it belonged to a couple who had not been seen for several weeks.
Uh-oh.
Law enforcement visited the house of Amberlyn Nichols, and her story unfurled. She confessed that she, along with her boyfriend, helped her stepfather clean up a crime scene and bury two bodies in her backyard.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. So the police were there and they're like, why are you selling this truck? Right.
This truck is not registered to you.
Yeah. And she was just like, well, I'll just tell you.
I guess they probably just thought she stole it. But
yeah, it was just definitely fishy. I think it said in the article that they were getting calls to the station that it was suspicious. Mm. So that's why they kind of were like, if it was there was a picture of a truck, like they'd be like, that is the truck of the missing people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure how they got to the conclusion of that fact that they wanted to go there. But as soon as they got there, she just told them what had happened. And apparently she took the investigators back to the very spot where they buried the bodies of the missing couple. It was Raymond Klein, 33, and Crystal Ann Klein, 37, which is super sad.
Mm.
Along with trying to sell the Klein's car, Amberlyn she also admitted that she was living in the Klein's home, which is very creepy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, Amberlyn says that the couple owed her stepfather money and that he was mad. According to evidence and whatever they found at the house, her stepfather, so Amberlyn's stepfather, Todd Jackson, broke into their house and crept into their room while they were sleeping. That is where he shot them in the head.
Mm.
It's horrible. Yep, so he killed them and then he basically was like, I need help from my lovely stepdaughter, which I thought was insane that she agreed to it, but you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ugh. So she agrees to help.
She agrees to help. So does her boyfriend.
What
like
the fuck?
And then she doesn't even, I guess I'm glad that she at least came out about it and she like told the police the truth, because it might have been a year or so before they could figure, like, you know, I don't know. Before the police could get enough evidence to show that.
Yeah.
If she would have lied about it and said, like, oh, I just found this truck.
I mean, she's
off the side of the road.
She's in their house, right?
Well, no, but they went to her house. She just said that she was, like, living in her house. It's kind of a weird article, only in the way that, because it was saying how She was living in the Klein's home instead of the tent in a park where she normally sleeps. But then they go to her house. So I don't know if it was maybe, it's like her residence. I don't know. Maybe if that's not a house. I don't know. Anyways.
Oh, so there's, she was sleeping in a tent in the park. So there's homelessness.
Possibly, but I have no idea.
I guess they were just super desperate for money.
Maybe.
If you're... stepdad, I mean, if your dad was like, help me bury these two bodies, what would you do?
I don't know what I'd do. Maybe they did get paid off by the stepdad, but who knows? I don't know. It's weird. It's like, selling the truck.
He gave her the keys to their house and their truck and was like, all right.
Here you go.
It's almost setting her up to be framed.
Yeah, but I guess the good thing is that they didn't get framed for the murder because Todd Jackson was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. So she basically told about him, and then she's getting less charges against her maybe, but also maybe not because she didn't really, like, negotiate or anything. She just said it.
Hmm.
And she and her boyfriend face charges for failing to report a death and accessory to murder after the fact. So, that's it. That's my
wild
true crime.
I don't think, you know, if somebody I loved murdered somebody and came to me about it,
mm-hmm.
I would do my best to get them committed. Like, I would do my best to get them mental health access. To, yes. I would be like, oh, okay, this person. Because if it's somebody you love and know, you're like, what the fuck? That's incredibly out of character.
Yes.
And then as soon as I could get that done, I would call the cops or call
exactly the cops. And tell them right away. But yeah. She obviously didn't care. She was selling the truck for $200. She wasn't. It sounds like she's not very smart either. So
no, it doesn't. I mean,
but I'm glad that there was resolution to this case because it sucks for those two people. I wonder if there is more to it also. So it
sounds like more.
There's got to be more. The
also
article.
Just think drugs or
drugs or
it's so illogical and so
and
like,
money yeah
I'm like
I don't
if
know why
somebody
owed him
owes
money.
You money shooting mm-hmm. them in the head isn't gonna get that money back like
yeah and they're unless, relatively young
yeah exactly and like this dude doesn't sound like he's a mob boss where he was like I need to make an example out of them like you're never getting that money now dude. That's not the way to go about it. You're better off robbing them. Not that I'm giving advice to criminals, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I was just like, wow. I thought I was going to get a story where it was like, a guy killed two people while they're sleeping, and then he did it himself, and then right. he got caught. But it's literally the family depth to it is crazy. So that's why I was like, whoa.
Yes.
But I wish there was more information. There's a pretty short article. It'll be in the links to all the stuff that we learned about today.
Yeah.
It'll be on our website.
We'll compile links so you guys can read.
Yeah, sources. Our little source section on our lovely website. All right. Well, what do you got, Karina?
Well, I have some things, but the next thing I have is not an article per se, but it's something. I'm a part of the Central Florida Murderinos Facebook page, right?
So am I.
So one of the girls there posted something about texting 911.
Okay.
And whether or not like that's a possibility, because that's something I have thought about so many times, like, oh god, like
what if you can't like pick up the phone and
call? What if you can't talk if you're trying to hide?
Yeah.
And they have begun to implement text messaging to 911 in the state of Florida.
Oh yeah.
So I wanted to boost that message just in case you should ever need it. They have begun to implement it. If you know, we'll post a link to the website, but the Florida Department of Management Services has like a little article about their text to 911 initiative. It's being implemented by county. Right now, a majority of the counties in Florida let you text 911.
That's amazing. I love that.
And by 2021, they want to have everyone able to text 911.
That's great.
Yeah. So Alachua County that we're in, yes, you're good.
Heck yeah.
Orange County, if you live in Orlando, you're good.
What about Monroe County?
Monroe County, yes. Monroe County has it.
Love that. Very cool. I love this. I love that. It's almost like a little, this is our like tips and story hour.
I know. I was just like, people should know about this. Let me just boost this. If you're not in the state of Florida, you have to look it up for your state because it's like a state by state initiative. But yeah, by 2021, all the counties should have it. And the only thing they say is you cannot text photos, videos, or emojis. You can try, but they won't go through. So it's text only.
It's probably text only. Okay.
You can take pictures, you can't, but send, you can't links. Send them. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Dang. Well, that's, I feel like they should implement photos eventually, because like, what if you're like, oh my God, like I just saw this car. He was sitting outside my house.
Well, the idea is you can take a picture and then
when give it to the police. Talk to them later. Yeah. That's true. But in the moment, I guess.
I do have a Samsung phone, and there's something called emergency alert or something.
Okay.
Where if you press, like, you have to turn it on, and you can pick some contacts from your phone. So, like, I have my dad as my emergency contact. If you press, the home button 3 times in quick succession, it will take a picture from the front camera. It'll take a picture from the back camera. It'll record a snippet of audio. And it'll get your GPS location. And it'll send it all to the contacts that you have listed.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I mean, I don't think iPhone does that. They just have the emergency, like, SOS. Like, if you, like, I always hit it on accident. Like, if you hit 2 buttons, then it's, like, SOS mode. And if you, like, don't respond, then it'll call 911.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
No, mine, yeah, it's, that's it cool does though. All of that. But I scared the shit out of my dad once because I accidentally did it. And I was going to a doctor's appointment, so I wasn't even like super available on my phone.
Yeah. So then he was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I was giving him a heart attack because it also sends a message that says, I need help. SOS. Like it automatically sends that. And it was like just a picture of like my car and like, my hand, you know, because it was just while I was walking. So, yeah, I scared him really bad. So you got to be careful about that. But you should look it up if you have it on your phone. Because it just makes you feel a little bit, you know, like, okay, hey, if I do get caught, at least there'll be all this evidence. If somebody just grabbed me off the street.
Yeah, that's better than nothing, I say.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then you have the last place that you were. I don't know. That's creepy to think about.
It is creepy. Definitely can get some creepy content from that. But
well, okay. I'm going to just tell my little grocery store story because it's kind of everyone's struggling with it right now. Going to the grocery store is hell.
It's hell. It's bad. I don't know where you are, but I think by now everyone is probably in the same boat. In our county, they are now like making people wait in lines so only a certain amount of people can go in at a time.
Wow. Yeah, I don't even know that. Because when I went to the store last, I was like, I'm not going back until I have to.
Right.
And this is why. I went to Publix, Florida treasure. And I get there right when it opens. And there's a bunch of people waiting outside. And when I get inside, people are rushing around. It's kind of like a busy day at Publix. So it's frustrating that there's that many people inside. I see people with masks and gloves, and I don't have any of that. So that already was freaking me out. I get to the cashier. I get everything I need. Bless those Publix workers. Bless them so much. Absolutely. Because they're still standing there filling the strawberries, they're putting stuff on the shelves, and they still ask you how are you doing. And not that I really know how to respond to that during this time, but I got to the cashier checkout, and this woman behind me starts freaking out because we notice that my milk is leaking. So there's a hole in my milk. I have a big gallon jug of like just regular milk. And she starts yelling at the cashier, telling her that she should wipe down the, what is it, the conveyor belt. And things get out of hand because she's an elderly woman. And at first of all, I was very worried because I'm like, you're old and you should not be shopping at this hour with all of us. Like, please, like, it just seemed wrong. But right. The woman said she was an RN. She said that the the milk on the conveyor belt was contaminating all of my goods. All of my goods were could possibly have the virus, that I needed to wash all of my bags, which I was going to do anyways. But she was just screaming that at me. Well, she didn't scream at me, but she kept leaning over and getting close to me. I'm like, lady, Jesus, get away from me. And she kept telling me, she's like, you need to, honey, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, I'm just, okay, I will. I was already planning on it. I just wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get my groceries, go home, and disinfect everything because I was freaked out already. And the cashier gets out her bottle and she starts cleaning just to like appease the woman. Mm-hmm. And she cleans the divider that was in front of my groceries. And she slides it down the little chute thing that they have. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the woman starts freaking out and she yells at her. She's like, don't slide that. So then the manager runs over. The assistant manager runs over. And they shut down our station, like our line.
Oh, my God.
So while they were shutting down our line, I was paying. So it canceled my payment. And, you know, I was like, woman, you could have been way kinder about this. She freaked me out.
Also, like, the milk? The milk?
Yeah. So, like, in her head, she was thinking because the milk was leaking, that it was touching surfaces that could have the virus on it. Or it was sitting, she was telling me, it's been sitting on the shelf for 2 days. It probably has the virus on it now, is what she told me. And so that, like, freaked me out because it is, like, from contact, like, you know, it could be on a surface and the milk could, it could, like, I got a new milk container, like the manager ran and got me a new milk, but it was just the lesson of the story is like, be kind, and it really stressed me out. And I went home and I Clorox wiped everything down, and then
the people at Publix
are, I know they're warriors.
So yeah,
that it's super hard.
I'm sure everyone is like so high key right now too, like people who would ordinarily already be bad customers,
yep, are they're just extra
100.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
It was bad. Anyways, that was my little story because I thought it was weird this woman was yelling at me and she made the Publix workers upset.
Yeah, I mean, probably obviously it's for the best that they're limiting the amount of people in every space, but that mm-hmm. Probably not only does it help stop spread the virus, but it probably just helps crowd control. Like, it helps the cashiers because then there's not a long line where everyone's like, hey, you know.
Yep.
There's just like one person at a time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be better. I saw somewhere too, it was like a quick article, that they might get plexiglass to put in for the cashiers, but I'm like, what?
Really?
We'll see. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I guess because they're just like essential employees, right? Like, they have to work because everyone needs groceries. It's that thing that people were talking about, oh, like, who is actually on the front lines, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Medical workers, obviously, but also the people who keep our society going, sanitation uh-huh. workers, grocery store clerks, like all of that. Mm-hmm. The most underappreciated people in society, the people who won't even be given a living wage half the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's,
and we need them.
I am so thankful for them. I am like, I don't know what to do to like help them other than just like support local stuff and be kind, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
don't be this lady that literally, like, everyone else is trying not to freak out doesn't mean that you need to freak out.
Yeah, it's exactly like, yeah, it's stressful and it's okay to be stressed out, but also have compassion for the person that you're interacting with.
And all the people around you. Yes. Yeah, it was just traumatizing. So yeah, I took a shower after and I was like, no. And it like messed me up the rest of the day. So like, I mean, I already had anxiety about going to the store, and it just made me like, when I got in my car, I like was about to cry. So just be nice, guys. Be nice. Be nice to everyone around you. Be nice to the people that don't have a choice.
Yep.
Because they have to work.
Yep.
And they're working for you so that you have your stupid 10 cases of Oreos that you had to take from the store. So don't take 10 cases. Just be considerate of others. And yeah.
Yeah. Right, and if you get takeout or delivery, tip.
Tip really because well. Because they're not like even food service workers. I saw that they're not allowing alcoholic beverages anymore.
Oh, I saw that. That's some drama
in our county. Anyways, it's just it's bad time, guys. So just be kind whenever you can. If you can give to people, like please give tip. Even just like. A wave to your neighbor that walks by like 6 feet away, obviously. Just like be friendly to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to get on a soapbox really quick about the like, we obviously live in Gainesville. We've talked about it multiple times just in this episode. There's a lot. Gainesville has like so many local restaurants, way more than I feel like is average for a town this size. And they're all really beloved by the community. But basically they were doing like a lot of the cool places downtown were doing to-go cocktails that were like in, you know, I saw them in like juice pouches and like all different kinds of stuff. Basically because the bars are shut down. So and
bartenders are out of
none
work
of those people and... can make any income. So they were, you know, they were expensive, but you know, obviously it was a good way to keep people employed. And then the Florida ABT, the Florida Alcoholic Beverage Team. No, I just made that up. I don't know what they are, but they're whatever bureaucracy people who regulate alcohol. They came to Gainesville and they said every restaurant doing to-go cocktails have to cease immediately or they will be fined $1,000 per drink.
Oh, but I didn't know it was that much. Yes. Jeez.
So it's like really intense. Like, and you're like, that is so detrimental to local business owners, service industry people. And the thing about it is the state authorized the sale of to-go alcohol. Put an executive order saying to-go alcohol is okay and authorized. So like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
so it's like two government agencies that are not on the same page.
Yeah, they're fighting with each other. Honestly, I can see the one hand of it being problematic. And like that's to where like the alcohol is like contaminated or something. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, because you know how they package bottles, like you have to have bottles that are not tampered with.
Sure. It's not a sealed.
But what is takeout food then?
Right.
What you can get essentially the same thing.
To-go cup of tea and it would be, it's not a sealed same thing. Container. So yeah, it's exactly the same. So yeah, I don't know. That's some soapbox shit. But yeah, support the local community.
Yes.
Tell us what your favorite, shout out to your favorite local
Your favorite
restaurant
drink. I'm just kidding.
That too. Because your favorite quarantine. Your quarantine-y cocktail.
Yes. I don't have a favorite. I'm on a wine shortage right now, so that's very sad. I gotta order something.
I like a vodka soda. That's what I like.
Vodka soda's good with lime.
With lime, but I like it with like a La Croix, like a flavored seltzer.
Yeah, because then
it's like
good.
Better. Or a ginger beer, like a mule, Moscow mule. Those are good.
Nice. That's good. Yeah.
I don't have any of the ingredients to make that, so.
Yeah, I don't have any. All I have is banana liqueur that my friend Juliet gave me because she was moving. She had two of them Ew. Because she was moving across the country. And then I kept it because you can make bananas Foster with it.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I need this. But I've not used it yet.
Let me know when you make bananas Foster so I can get some.
I will. It will probably be after this quarantine because I don't have any bananas. And I don't want to go back, Karina.
Don't go back for bananas. It's not worth it. So yeah, the nice little local announcement section.
the bulletin.
It's crazy out here. It's crazy out here. I have a true crime one that I can do. I'm saving all my happy ones for the end. So this is
me too.
Kind of old news, but not super old news. About a month ago, February 26th, did you see this? In Orlando, Winter Park. Woman zipped boyfriend inside suitcase, filmed as he suffocated, deputies say.
Okay, I saw something about that, and I did not see the second part of that headline. All I saw was woman kills boyfriend by zipping him in suitcase. I didn't see that she filmed it all. Oh my god. Yep. Karina.
Yep, she filmed it, and apparently you can hear him say, quote, "I can't breathe." So he
what? Oh, Florida woman.
Florida woman, dude. This is Orange County, like I said, Winter Park, from clickorlando.com, reliable news source. A 42-year-old Orlando woman is accused of zipping her boyfriend inside a suitcase, quote, during a game of hide and seek, and leaving him to die as he called out her name, according to Orange County arrests affidavit.
Hide and seek.
She apparently told investigators that they were playing a hide and seek game, and they thought it would be funny if the victim, Jorge Torres Jr., got into the suitcase, and she said that she zipped him in to the suitcase, and that they had been drinking, so this was drunk hide and go seek.
Oh, God.
And she says that she passed out in her bed. That's what she told the cops when, I assume she called the cops, because he's dead. She left him in there for hours and pass out, right?
Dang.
And forgot about him, quote unquote, during hide and go seek. As I read further, when she found Torres unresponsive in the suitcase, she told deputies that she called her ex-husband, who lives a few minutes away. After seeing Torres's body, ex-husband told Boone she needed to call 911. So thank God he did the right thing.
Yeah.
And told her to call 911. Like, what the fuck?
I'm glad that it didn't go the way that the other one went.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That the ex-husband she wasn't like, okay, help let's me go bury him in the backyard. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dang.
So they found Torres's body near the front door, near a blue suitcase. So I guess they had taken him out of the suitcase at that point. Torres had a small laceration on his lip and bruising around his eye, according to the arrest report. He also had scratches on his back, among other injuries. The woman, Sarah Boone, I can say her, it's in the news, so I don't need to respect her identity at this point. She said that there was no physical altercation involved. And she gave the sheriff's office verbal and written consent to then let the deputies search her phone. So here's the thing, right? She told the cops, we were playing drunk hide and go seek. I blacked out, passed out, and forgot about him, and he died. Oh no, horrible, horrible accident, right? But then she said that apparently she gave verbal and written consent to let the deputy search her phone, and they immediately found two videos on her phone.
What the heck? She
didn't delete.
She didn't even try to delete.
Yeah, which good.
Yeah, good, because at least she's being transparent.
Well, yeah, I mean,
or she didn't even remember exactly. They were there.
Investigators said one video shows Torres yelling at Boone and telling her he can't breathe while Boone laughs at his yelling. I can't fucking breathe, seriously, Torres said in the video. And Boone replied, yeah, that's what you do when you choke me. Interesting. Deputies said Torres continued to tell Boone he could not breathe and call out her name. She said, "That's on you. Oh, and that's what I feel like when you cheat on me," Boone said in the video. The video shows the suitcase facing downward with Torres pushing on a suitcase in an attempt to get out. So basically, the opening of the suitcase is under his weight.
Oh.
So he can't get out. The second video shows the second suitcase, the suitcase in another position as if it had been moved. Deputy said Boone could be heard laughing in the video and telling Torres to shut up as he called her name. Boone told Torres this was for, quote, "everything you've done for me, you've done to me," according to the video. When she was shown the videos by investigators, Boone said she didn't remember taking them and it looked, quote, "bad." After Boone's inconsistent statements and reviewing videos found on her phone, they decided to charge her with second-degree murder.
Wow.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's being held without bond.
Dang.
Yeah. Really crazy story.
That is wild. I can see it because, I mean, as a kid, I've definitely, like, gotten in a suitcase or tried to, like, fit into one because that's what people do. Like, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one thing for her honestly, I always say this, but you speak true, like, honesty when you're wasted.
Right. Drunk, like, you drunk are words are you're, sober thoughts, right?
Yeah, you're, like, unfiltered. So, I mean, she obviously felt like she was punishing him. I think it sounds like I don't know. I don't want to get into, like, their whole probably relationship, but it sounds like they're a little toxic. And she was just thought it was a game that they were playing.
Yeah,
but
it sounds
still,
like...
Still doesn't sound good because it's almost like her...
Yeah.
Punishing him and in the way that she just left him in there and... Obviously, her drunk self thought he'll be fine, or she thought maybe he won't be fine, but...
He probably did drunkenly get into the suitcase as a joke, because...
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that anyone could physically force someone into a suitcase and have them still be conscious.
Conscious.
Yeah, like, you even... If you were a huge dude, it would be hard to force a man into a suitcase while he's conscious.
Yes.
So her doing it, probably not. So it does make sense that he got in there voluntarily as a joke. And then she took an opportunity to kind of make him suffer a little bit. And clearly she had a little bit of a sadistic
streak there. Fun with it, yeah.
She's like laughing and like, fuck you. But she's not like... die, but maybe he just I wonder. I kind of, it's definitely still murder, but I do kind of believe that she didn't think he could die in there, and then she just went to bed and left him there and was like, fuck it, let him just stay there and kind of to torture him.
But she just didn't realize that it was gonna, he would be deprived of oxygen
and actually die. Because you don't think that it's not a vacuum, you know, you wouldn't think that immediately.
I mean, I would think
drunk.
That, but
no, I mean, exactly. I mean, me too. But if you're wasted already and you are,
the logic isn't there.
But yeah, I mean, sounds like an abusive, it sounds like a toxic relationship, like not healthy.
No.
Don't do that to people. Games. Don't do that.
You can
That's
do that
awful.
For like a minute, but then you let him out.
Oh, don't
Jeez.
Do it for a minute. That's fucking not funny. That would be my red flag. If someone does that to you and thinks it's funny, that person has that's a red flag.
I literally am like
streak.
They do, but as you were telling the story, I was thinking about, oh my god, I need to like remember how to like escape from a suitcase if I ever get like locked in one. And like in my head, I'm like, okay, you find where like the seam is, where like there's a little, I mean, if you're locked in there, you can't really move that much, but you just like run your hand around the, if you can, I guess, and then find where the zippers meet, unless it's locked, like,
yeah,
I don't
locked,
know.
Yeah, you're fucked. But I agree. If you can find where the zippers meet, you can jam your finger in and pull it open, because zippers aren't that secure. You know, they're usually
That is, unless you pass out and before you can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're inebriated. And yeah, if you're... I mean, it sounds like he got in and then she flipped him over, which is even worse.
Yeah.
So he can't because then flip himself around. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, what is a fucking nightmare.
So whoa, bad.
That's just awful.
I just like to think that she would leave him like that for so long, even though he was like yelling like, I can't breathe. Like, even when you play, like, as I keep thinking about when I'm a kid, like, not that I was getting in any suitcases, but like if you like sat on your friend and your friend is like, right, ow, I can't breathe, then you usually like get off of them.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was obviously saying it multiple times and she still wasn't doing anything about it. So like,
yeah, they haven't released the video or else I would really play it. But based on the article, it does sound like he is distressed and she is like, haha, this is funny. Bye.
Yeah, this is your punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh, I don't like it. Wow. I saw that headline and I'm glad you explained it because I didn't know that she filmed it and I didn't know that
it looks very bad for her that she fully lied to them.
Yeah, like I'm surprised that she didn't look at her.
It's real. Well, it seems likely that she doesn't even remember taking those videos. I mean, like she said, I don't remember.
Yeah, but she was on her phone, obviously.
Yeah, I know. Like, you don't look and say, oh, fuck.
What did I do? What did I do?
God.
What happened last night? Yeah, maybe she was just scared. I don't know. Anyways. Well, that's a little bit of a downer, but also interesting.
Yeah, it's my last true crime one. After that,
okay.
It's all pretty funny.
I've got a really funny one right now. So this is my last little story. This one comes from a news headline. An article posted by the New York Post. I'm going to say it posted by the Post. in November of 2018. So it's not that new. But I saved it on Karina and I's list of episode ideas. Because when I saw it, I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And now I'm really happy because I get to share it with you all.
I'm excited.
So we're in Pompano Beach, Florida. And it's kind of relevant to now because people are on edge. But so several people are standing in line at the checkout of a Dollar General. They're waiting patiently. And a woman named Shanetta farts.
Oh.
Now.
Her name is Shanetta Farts, or she...
No, Shanetta farted.
I see.
In the line. Now, that's not too uncommon, although I can't think of an instance when it wasn't someone that I saw. Like, I could know, like, a family member doing that, but, right, like, not...
In public.
Not someone that I don't know and noticing it.
Definitely unless it's like...
So, this woman farted... And that's when things got wild. The man behind her starts complaining about her and her flatulence. And Shanetta is not going to let some man tell her what to do or what she can't do. She's unapologetic. So what if she's gassy? She's a Florida woman and she's not going to let anyone stop her. So... Florida woman turns to the man, pulls out a knife, and threatens to, quote, gut him.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so
she's very insecure about her gas.
Either that or she's like, why are you making fun of me? Like, I'm going to kill you. And in the end, Shanetta Yvette Wilson was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill. And her bail says $2,500.
Oh my god.
Isn't that crazy? I thought it was really funny.
That is the most Florida shit.
Like,
pull a knife.
Can you imagine?
But also, can I just say,
yeah,
that bail is exceptionally inappropriately high.
Yeah, it is.
Like, what the fuck? She didn't actually hurt anyone.
She did threaten to gut him.
Yeah, she does look a little like she's distressed in the photo that they have for the article. And I kind of feel bad for her, but also, like, you are the one who farted, like...
Yeah. You just gotta like, own it. You just gotta own up.
You gotta own it, be like, yep, that was me. Like, come on. Or just pretend like, oh, that was the... It's the cart. It's the cart. Like, I don't know. I thought it was very funny. Yeah, I can just picture it in my head. It seems like it's in a movie or something. Anyways, that's my little funny story.
That's a good story.
Thanks. All right. Well, let's see. What's your last story, Karina?
So my last story is published 2 days ago, so it's pretty relevant. Two wooden shipwrecks discovered on Florida beach. Pretty exciting.
That's very exciting.
And this source is Fox News, so I apologize for the source, but what can you do? News is news. The wrecks of two wooden boats, one of which may be more than 100 years old, have been uncovered on a beach in northern Florida. So the St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum posted on their Facebook that they found these wrecks in Mayport, which is near Jacksonville. And they were super excited about it, which is really cute. Their Facebook page, two wooden boat wrecks at Mayport, all caps, exclamation point. which I just am like, hell some people, yeah.
People who work there, they've been waiting their whole lives for something like this.
Yes! We found...
They're pirate people.
Yeah, they love it. We found not one, but two wooden wrecks. They represent two seemingly partially intact boats. But they're too lightly built to have been on ocean-going ships. So they think... The guy from the museum, Chuck Mead, explains that what appears to be two forward ends or bows of the boats are exposed, with the larger, more exposed boat displaying about 21 feet. And the other one, the archaeologist thinks that this originally was 30 to 32 feet long. And the second boat, they don't know what size it is, but basically they think it could be 75 to 100 years old, possibly older.
Wow.
Which is cool.
Do they find any doubloons? I guess 75 to 100 years old is not that old, so never mind. I don't know why I said that.
No, it's not that old.
Where's that treasure?
It's turn
where's
of the century. Treasure? But it's still fun because there's just so many crazy... there's so many shipwrecks in Florida,
yes.
And it's all fun history. They think maybe it was these shipwrecks were related to Hurricane Dora back in 1964, which isn't that long ago, but they could have been used for decades before that. They look like fishing boats.
Very cool.
And it's just all like, it's fun, I guess, you know, it's fun.
That's very fun.
There could be treasure. The funnest thing is the comments of this news article on foxnews.com.
Hell yeah, let me hear them.
Get ready for it. Okay,
I'm
so
ready.
We got 22682000. That's his. 22 as in T-O-O-T-O-O. They don't teach history or relevant subjects any longer in schools or universities. That is, unless you can distort to the story to include social injustice attached to it. Very few students today have actually read a book cover to cover. So why would they be shocked to learn that the following facts relative to sunken shipwrecks, not that it matters, but what we are aware of today, there are in excess of 3 million wrecks in the waters in the world. Surprised?
What?
I don't know. It's nonsense. But they're like, they don't teach history or relevant subjects unless they're about social injustice. And very few students have actually read a book cover to cover. So why would they be shocked to learn the following facts relative to sunken shipwrecks? Not that it matters, but there were excess of 3 million wrecks. Surprise? ?
Oh my God. Sometimes I'm like, people... don't speak up. Like, I don't care.
What the Phoebe, fuck? You read this article about shipwrecks and the first thing you think is, well, no one would even care about. The kids today don't even care about shipwrecks.
Kids like, don't care about shipwrecks. Okay, boomer. Yeah, seriously.
I'll read one more.
Okay.
But they're all wild.
Yeah, I mean, who has time to comment on news articles anyways?
No, like, it's all ancient people. So Susan Neely, 525, commented, in December 1978, my husband's Jeep was flipped by a part of boat wreckage on the beach at Anastasia Island State Park. He died, but the dog lived.
Oh my God.
What the fuck, Susan? What the fuck, Susan?
She's, you know, Susan, everyone needed to know. I'm sorry for your loss. The dog lived. Susan. Like,
she read that article and she's like, my husband's Jeep was flipped and he died, but the dog lived. Then somebody commented, sorry for your loss, glad the dog made it. Very nice, thank you.
These old people. Oh my God. She just needed to share.
She needed us to know.
That was on her mind. It's like a stream of consciousness sometimes. People yes. literally are like, there's no thought in between the brain, the memory and the thought. They just go straight to the keyboard like, and they hit enter.
The first thing that comes into my mind when I read this article, bam.
As I'm reading it, I'm typing out what I feel. Let me show you my feelings. This is my thoughts, and I want to influence the world. Wow. Yeah. That was something. I love those little
tidbits. I know.
This is, that's amazing. I hope they're both Floridians, because I bet they are.
I'm sure they are. Why would they be reading this article?
Either that or, you know what, they could be snowbirds.
Yeah, they more likely than not are snowbirds.
Yep.
That concludes the news, but not that news.
Not that. Not
that news.
The news, but not that news.
Our news. But yeah, one last thing that we wanted to do was recommend some quarantine content to consume while you're home, bored.
Yes.
Keeping yourself socially distancing yourself. Good for you. We wanted to give you guys some recs of stuff we like that's on brand.
Yes.
Do you want to go first since I just did the...
sure. I just finished a book last night. It was on an audiobook because what I've been listening to lately. Yes. It actually was... I have to look up the name of the author. But it's called The Trust. It is a, I don't know how to describe it because it has a lot of different aspects in it that it's not related to Florida at all.
Doesn't have to be, but if it's like spooky or whatever, mine's not related to Florida either, so.
It's by Ronald H. Balson. And the funny thing is I had a friend recommend that to me like a long time ago. She told me about it. And I had no idea that it was the same author of the book that I read just before that book. So this author is pretty great. Like, he does a lot of historical, the book I read before The Trust was Carolina's Twins. And that book is about, it's very depressing. So I don't recommend reading it right now because I mean, I recommend reading it. It's about a woman who comes to, basically, she lived through the Holocaust and she's looking for someone to investigate and find these two children that she promised her friend that she would find from the Holocaust, that where they were lost in the Holocaust. Now, it's very depressing, but anyways, I listened to that book and then I ended up listening to this next book and I was really surprised because it has the same main characters kind of in it. It's a couple, so it's like a lawyer and her husband is a private investigator, and so this book The Trust is about a private investigator who finds out that his uncle has died and his goes back for the funeral and he finds out that he was murdered.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was really good.
What's it? Who's it by again?
Ronald H. Balson. And he has, like, I haven't read the first of the books that he did. It's, I think another one he has is Once We Were Brothers, but this one was really good. It's, you can read them separately, but you can also read them in succession or accidentally in succession, right. Like I did. But I recommend it because it's, there's a murder. Lots of murder.
That sounds great. It sounds kind of like Knives Out. Have you seen that?
I have not, but I do want to see
recommend.
That.
That's not the thing I'm going to recommend, but highly recommend Knives Out.
Okay. Yeah, I it's on my list, but I'm going to have to
find it streaming somewhere. It feels like an old school detective movie, but it's actually pretty hard to figure out the twist. So, you know, not the twist, but, you know, the murder. Who done it?
Yep. Who done it? Yeah. I mean, that's like, yeah, I love that. I need new book recommendations.
Well, that's not a book, that's a movie, but yes.
I know that's a movie. I'm just thinking of
funny I'm you sorry, should say I'm... that, because my recommendation is also a book.
So oh, I'm ready.
I would like to recommend a book called White is for Witching.
Ooh.
And it is by Helen Uyiyemi, which is spelled O-Y-E-Y-E-M-I, Uyiyemi. She is a really great author, and she's also super young. She's one of those people where you're like, no! But she's only 35, and she's...
Wow.
She's written a bunch of books, but White is for Witching is the book that I'm recommending in particular. It is the scariest book I have ever read, bar none. And I love horror books. Like, I have read, like, most of Stephen King's books, all the good ones anyways. You know, he has a mixed bag of books, but I, like, seek out horror books. This book is so fucking scary. It's so scary.
Oh my God.
I mean, I personally, for me, it's scary for me. There's a little bit of.
Are there ghouls in it? Because that's. Oh, because I know you don't like ghosts.
No, there's not. Well, there are and there are not ghosts. There is stuff. It's basically like, have you seen the movie Get Out?
Yes.
It's similar to Get Out in themes.
Okay.
Where it's like I don't know what the term for it is, but it's like racial terror, I guess, where it's like, ooh, white people doing scary evil shit.
Damn.
But it's it's about two women kind of simultaneously. Two young women, and there's some body horror in it that is a little scary for me, but I'll just give you a synopsis about the book, because I don't want to spoil anything. Okay. As a child, Miranda Silver developed pica, a rare eating disorder that causes its victims to consume non-edible substances.
Oh.
The death of her mother when Miranda is 16 exasperates her condition. Nothing, however, satisfies a strange hunger passed down through the women in her family. And then there's the family house in Dover, England, converted to a bed and breakfast by Miranda's father. It manifests a conscious malice towards strangers, dispatching those visitors it despises. So that's the spooky synopsis from Google Books, but
well, that's
basically
spooky.
It's about family history. It's about the dark sides of family history, and it's takes place in the UK, and it's a little bit haunted housey. It's a little bit Get Out-y. I listened to it on audiobook with Libby. Highly recommend. I had to stop listening to it at night because it was freaking me out so much. So It's very scary.
I haven't read like a spooky book in a long time.
Yeah. I would say it's genuinely a horror book.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking for a new book now, so.
Can recommend it. So that's it. That's our quarantine episode. I mean, it's hard to concentrate. It's hard to focus. So we're bringing you what we can this week.
It's really been a struggle. So thank you for still listening. And
So hopefully you enjoyed this off-kilter episode.
Yes. All right. Well, stay safe out there, everybody.
Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Don't drive over any... don't drive on the beach. Oh, try to avoid... Yes. Try to avoid shipwrecks.
Avoid shipwrecks. Avoid shipwrecks. Pray for Susan, guys.
Pray for Susan. All right. That's it.
Okay. So, stop listening.
Stop listening.
Bye.
All the music for our podcast is provided by The Murmurs and their album Get Swell Soon. You can listen to The Murmurs on Spotify or find them on their Bandcamp page.
If you're interested in learning more about us, you can visit our website at peninsulaobscura.com and check out our Instagram at peninsulaobscura. You can listen to our podcast on most platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.